Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Morning, rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. But this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wild Wednesday. And we got started off with the socially conscious segment. Well, New Yorkers, you're about to get a brand new set of eyes on you. Yes, yes, yes. We have 10,000 existing security cameras already in 472 train stations. Well, now they're about to up that, as they are going to put two cameras each in nearly 6,400 subway cars. Yes, everything you do in a subway car will be monitored. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, there's some good points and there's some bad points, but one of the good points is they'll be able to tell exactly what's going on at all times. Well, the downside is, well, unfortunately, they won't be streamed live. Yes. So by the time they get their eyes on the footage, well, it would have already happened. So they'll be able to go back and refer to it and maybe catch a couple of criminals. But listen, it's a start, right? Alrighty, it's a nice way to jumpstart a boost into, you know, making sure that the crime is lessened down in the train system of New York City. Well, we got our little wow story for yesterday. That was really, 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 you know, a little blessing. But before we get there, we have the unfortunate incident of the asylum seeker. Yes, those who have been coming over here, the migrants coming over here. And unfortunately, one of those migrants took her own life over the weekend right in the New York City shelter system. And you know, the conversation ensues about, you know, the fact that they are heavily weighed down with the traveling from one country to the next. We don't know what has happened in their own country. And, you know, maybe the shock value of all of, you know, what happens when you actually get here to New York, New York. It's a wonderful town. Maybe it ain't all as wonderful as they think it is. So unfortunately, we have the mentally ill migrants as well as the mentally ill natives walking around. But at the end of the day, we are very sorry to hear that anyone feels like they need to take their own life here in New York City or anywhere in this world. Well, we got the pair of 6-year-old twin girls people are now being hailed in Melbourne, Florida, as the little heroes, as they took on their mother's attacker. Yeah, unfortunately, it was her boyfriend. Took on her attacker and attacked him with dolls and other toys and hair dryer and sticks. Oh, yeah, they got it in. I think he'll watch the next time he decides to raise his hand to anybody. Never know where that attack is coming from. Okay. Well, the ladies were in the house yesterday, and we had a nice conversation. You know, how to get healthy friendships even after they've hurt you. Well, one of the first points that they make is to choose friends wisely. You want to choose your friends wisely. You know, maybe after the hurt has taken place, maybe you realize that that wasn't a friend after all. Has that ever happened to you? You realize that this was a one-sided friendship? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, one of the other points that they brought up was believe the best until you are certain of the worst. Now, this is something that we need to be practicing as Christians anyway. No, you cannot, you know, do the opposite. You know, there are literally people who function in the opposite, where unless somebody proves themselves, nah, you got to show what you got first. And that is not the way of God. No, I'm sorry. Listen, don't argue with me. That's not the way of God. You know, we got to, you know, everybody should get a fair chance. Everyone should have a fair chance. You know, you can't worry about, you know, people who have told you about other people and all kinds of things. No, you have to believe the best until you find out otherwise. Okay? All right. Well, one of the other points I want to bring out this morning is be the friend you wish you had. You know, I want to be honest. I have definitely. Now, raise your hand. If you have seen what I've seen, where people expect this high level of friendship, and, you know, they're looking for loyalty, and they're looking for, you know, you to have their back, and for you to be in their corner, and for you to help out whenever it is that, you know, they need help. Now, when they need your help, and when you look for them, they are nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. You have really got to be the friend that you are expecting someone else to be. Okay? Come on. Now, just go look in the Bible. Yes, these are biblical principles, my friend. This ain't nothing we didn't scrape up, you know, underneath the cement. These are biblical principles. Okay? Wow. We finished off our morning with a very powerful and personal faith over fear with our pastor, Charlotte, who's going through this friendship issue. So you got to go back and listen so you can hear the things that she said God kind of put in her eyesight, her view, kind of put in her mind and her heart so she can move past the hurt and still live up to God's expectations and be a friend. Okay? So that's how we spent our Wednesday. Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday, the day we discuss different areas of your health, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, maybe even financial. You know, we really, really, really have gotten a nice understanding of what this therapy is about. And today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to discuss any area that comes down the pathway. Okay? All righty. So, go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. So, go ahead and tell a friend that it's time when Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere because we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Charlotte Dorsey. I want to live here for the rest of my life and be as healthy and independent as I can be. That is why I'm so grateful for Yolo Healthy Aging Alliance, a nonprofit organization that brings 100 service providers together and educates the public on issues like planning ahead to meet long-term care needs, dementia, and how to be safe in our homes. I participate in the Aging Alliance Advocacy Committee that serves as the voice for older adults. We meet with elected officials to advocate for more senior services. Right now, the Alliance is playing a central role in expanding adult daycare services and supporting aging legislation. We are all aging. The Yolo Healthy Aging Alliance is helping us to age well with dignity and respect. You can learn more, join our efforts, and we hope become a friend and supporter at yolohealthyaging.org.
Well, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to the Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Therapeutic Thursday. Today we discuss your health in many different areas. Now, I need you to go get a pen and a piece of paper because I'm about to discuss some serious stuff with you regarding your health and the things that you need to know about you, okay? But before we go there, I want to give God thanks that he has brought us on this side of the week. Yes, nice and healthy and safe, and only God could do that. Only the Lord could do that for us, okay? So, come on, let's get this party started, and we got a nice, wonderful day ahead of you, and get that pen and paper out, okay? Well, we're about to talk about the stats, your health stats. You absolutely should know about yourself, okay? All righty. Ready? One, your blood type. Yes, you really need to know what your blood type is, as blood types classify what we need when we have to maybe get a blood transfusion, and, you know, it lets us know the types of antibodies that exist on the red blood cells. And yes, this stuff is important. You know, you can have an Rh factor that can work for you or against you at times of your life. So, you know, if anything should ever happen, you should know your blood type so you can tell them so they can hurry up and get you the blood you need to have. Okay? All righty. They say for you to know your blood type, you need to ask your doctor. Okay? So let's make sure we get that information from our doctor. Okay? You should know who your primary doctor is. All right? Number two, a health stat that you need to know about you, your blood pressure. Okay? Why you need to know your blood pressure. Because your blood pressure controls a whole lot of other areas in your body. Okay. There's two numbers. There's your top number, which is always the higher number. And what do they call that one? Systolic. And then you have the bottom number, which is your diastolic number. Okay. And they said your high blood pressure, as we know, can, you know, lead to a heart attack. It can lead to a stroke, heart disease if you have long-term high blood pressure. So come on. Let's get this information. Okay. All right. Now, a normal blood pressure is somewhere around 150, 160, 170, over 70 or 80. Okay? That's a normal. Normal. All right? Number three, a health stat that you need to know about you, your cholesterol level. Okay? They say cholesterol acts as building blocks for cells, certain hormones, and bioproduction in the liver. And overabundance can lead to plaque accumulation on the walls of the arteries, resulting in so-called hardening of the arteries. And we know that is not a good thing. Okay? So make sure you eat properly so that you don't have that that issue of high cholesterol, you know, because sometimes people have to have medicine for their high cholesterol. So we hope that that's not you, okay? Number four, another health stat that you need to know about you, your triglyceride level, okay? They say, experts say triglycerides are the third and perhaps more understated factor to consider when elevating cardiovascular risk. Okay? So, they say triglycerides raise LDL, bad cholesterol, especially small, densitized LDLs. And they say that it really becomes dangerous the higher your triglycerides become. They say it can lead to heart disease. And you don't want that. You don't want that. We talk about the heart all the time over here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph, and you definitely don't want heart disease. Okay, so listen, you can always, always, always change this. They say have your triglycerides measured by your doctor on a regular basis, and more than likely, it's done in your fasting insulin. You know, you go to the doctor and they check your diabetes level, and they always make sure to tell you don't eat. Yes, that's when they also check your triglycerides. So make sure you follow, you know, reducing the intake of simple carbs, okay? So let's make sure we make that happen. Number five, your thyroid level. The other health stat that you need, your thyroid levels and metabolism, okay? Now, we have heard of metabolism since we were kids. You know, if you moved around a little slow, they said maybe it's, your metabolism wasn't high and blah, 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 blah. Right? Okay. So they say thyroid levels often decline as we age. Okay. Beginning in our mid-30s. So you're not as healthy as you think you are in your 30s. Okay. You got to start taking care of yourself. Okay. They say that even levels at the low end of the normal range of this hormone can lead to difficulty losing weight, decreased energy, diminished mood, foggy headaches, forgetfulness, feeling cold, constipation, or other symptoms. Okay? So it can also result in increased cholesterol. All right, so they say to get to that thyroid level and activity, you know, you can get that thyroid test done by your doctor. Okay? And that's, I'm going to tell you something, that's something that they definitely check for, because you can have either hyperthyroidism or hypothyroidism. And when that is off, oh my gosh, your numbers are not where they need to be when it comes to your thyroid. It really can take a toll on you in many ways. All right, so make sure that that doctor is getting all that information to you and ask. I don't care how young you are, ask. Okay? All right. Number six, we're talking about health stats that you need to know about you, the state of your mouth. Now, just recently, over the past few months, we've been talking about oral health here on the Z-Time with Pastor Steph and why it's important. Well, they say that there's a definitive link between your mouth and the rest of your body with many systemic diseases, having oral manifestations. Okay. They say that researchers have concluded that the bacteria found in plaque, and that's the primary cause of gum disease, is linked to coronary disease, and that people with periodontal disease, which is disease of the mouth, are up to 2 times likely to suffer a fatal heart attack and nearly 3 times more likely to suffer a stroke. They say oral bacteria causes the platelets in the bloodstream to aggregate and form blood clots that can block blood vessels and infect heart valves. Does it sound like we need to be running from the dentist? Man, oh man, absolutely not. Get to the dentist. That's it. Make sure you brush. Make sure you rinse. Make sure you floss. Get to the dentist, okay? And they're saying those of us who have diabetes, they said we should talk. We should have regular visits every 3 to 6 months to help maintain our teeth and gums. Well, I didn't know that part, so I'll have to definitely get to the dentist, okay? Ooh, here is one that we really need to pay attention to. Number 7, the risks your molds carry. Wow. Okay. So they say molds, which is essentially pigmented skin growths, are quite common, with most showing up in early childhood and during the first 25 years of a person's life. Okay. And they say atypical moles, however, are worth a closer look, you know, something that we need to. I'm getting a flag. Not M-O-L-D, not mold, like something that comes from like humidity. Mold, M-O-L-E-S, I'm so sorry. Most those black things that you have on your body, sometimes they're small, sometimes they're large, sometimes they stick out, sometimes they're just on the skin level. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Because I don't know how many people would be confused. Okay. They say studies have shown that at least some malignant melanomas have their origin in atypical molds. Yeah. Wow. But ow. Okay. They say which typically bear irregular features such as uneven borders or shifting in shape or color over time. Okay. So if you've got like moles on your body, you need to make sure you point them out to your doctor and make sure that they're not, you know, something that you need to be concerned about. We have moles all over the place, moles all over our face, you know, moles on different parts of your body. Like I said, some moles are larger than others, but you want to definitely point them out to your doctor and make sure that everything is okay. All righty? We're talking about the health that you need to know about your body. Well, the curve of your spine. I hope y'all are writing this stuff down. I am blown away over here. I keep telling y'all, I only read like maybe one, definitely one, maybe two, because I want to learn and have the shock value that you all have. And man, the stuff that's coming up, the curve of your spine is something that you need to know and pay attention to. So they say that most people with scoliosis have a mild form of the disorder, but as conditions worsen, it can cause, are you ready? Uneven hips, shoulders, prominent ribs, and even a shift of the waist, along with chronic back problems and loss of coordination and mobility. So, yes, this is why we need to know about our body. Oh, my goodness. Watch the curve of your spine, y'all. This is no joke. Okay, we're talking about the health. We're talking about all of the health that you need to know about you. And this is really important because you know what? We're always ignoring us. Especially mothers, especially moms. You're always worried about the kids and, you know, if they got a little sniffle, if they got a little fever, or, you know, if they walking differently or they acting differently. Yes, but we don't take care of us. So this is like prevalent today. Prevalent. Know the curve. Let me read this one again because this one here is kind of blowing me away. Okay. They say notice the curve of your spine, okay? Most people with scoliosis, half the time you don't even know what's going on with your body, okay? So remember now, scoliosis is a sideways curvature of the spine. But pay attention because it says most people with scoliosis have a mild form of the disorder, but as conditions worsen, it can cause uneven hips, shoulders, prominent ribs, and even a shift of the waist, along with chronic back problems. Okay? So they say there's no clear cure outside of invasive medical measures for scoliosis, but pay attention to your children and how they're walking, how they're bent over, how they sit, because a lot of this comes from just a slouching sitting, and now your body becomes accustomed. And it, remember now, in their formative years, okay, you can, you know, kind of force that spine to curve, okay? All righty. Woo! I need y'all to pay attention to this stuff today. We're talking about our health, okay? Now, number nine, a health stat that you need to pay attention to, the severity of your headaches. Just got finished talking to somebody the other day. They keep about this headache. Listen, you got to pay attention to your headaches, okay? So they say pay attention to the severity of your headaches. They say that there are many different ranges of headaches, okay? So you need to be able to speak about what you're going through. And I always say that to people. I always say, listen, I can't imagine the annoying feelings these doctors have when they ask you, you know, what's going on? You know, how long has this been going on? You're like, I don't know. I can't remember. Well, how are they going to help you? How are they going to help you? You got to know and be able to describe what's going on with your body, okay? Now, the severity of your headache, they say, can definitely signal something more serious that's going on in your body, maybe something even life-threatening, okay? So, check this out. Ready? They say concerning symptoms include loss of bowel control, blindness, facial drooping, arm or leg weakness, and the loss of the ability to speak, understand language, or read. Okay? They say numbness or tingling of one side of the face, arm, or leg may warrant a clinic visit to a headache specialist. Man, let me tell you something. If you got numbness or tingling of one side of the face, arm, or leg, you ain't got no time to be visiting no head specialist. Get to an emergency room, all right? Because you don't know whether you're having a stroke or anything else, okay? So come on, pay attention to that body and make sure you can, you know, you can be able to say when these things have happened and when they have not, okay? Number 10, your blood glucose levels, okay? Yes, pay attention to your blood glucose levels. Diabetes, yes, that's what signals whether we have diabetes or not, okay? So if you go into the doctor and when they check your blood glucose levels, it's on the higher side, well, they may start talking to you about diabetes. So make sure you eat properly, because type 2 diabetes is serious. You know, you end up having further complications such as heart disease, stroke, chronic kidney disease, neuropathy, fatty liver disease, and other diseases. So make sure you pay attention to your glucose levels, okay? Number 11, we're talking about the health stats that you need to know about you, the feel of your breath. The feel of your breath, yes. Don't forget, you know, ladies, we have to, and gentlemen, we have to definitely, you know, feel around the breath, you know, very gently. You can go on YouTube and see, or anywhere on the internet, and they'll show you how to examine yourself so you can make sure there are no lumps, because, yes, men have breast cancer too. If you were hanging out with Pastor Steph the way you should be, you would know that, yes, this goes on, and we're probably going to have Elder Natisha talk about some of this in our October month, where it's, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, okay? All righty. Number 12, the health stat is your overall health history. Make sure you know this about yourself. And I'm not even talking about your own history, such as chicken pox or measles and mumps and, you know, things like that. I'm talking about your family's health history, because a lot of things we don't have, but we're predisposed to from our genetic makeup. All right. So really quickly, let me run down. They gave us 12 health stats you absolutely should know about yourself. Your blood type, your blood pressure, your cholesterol levels, your triglyceride levels, your thyroid levels, and your metabolism. The state of your mouth. And not just whether you're cussing or not, okay? The risk your moles can possibly carry. The curve of your spine. The severity of your headache. your blood glucose levels, the feel of your breath, and your health history. That's a lot to know, people. Well, guess what? If you were going to the doctor on a normal basis, you would know. Yes. Okay? You would know. So pay attention. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Okay? Well, that's our health focus and our physical health for today. And we got a little bit of news talk before we have our special guest on this morning. And let's talk about this news story. Now, I need y'all to weigh in on this one. So I'm already going to give the number. Text me, 347-285-7777. I'm going to talk to my D-Time crew about this here. This is the hot story of the day. So, here we go. We have a couple, a Pennsylvania couple, who's suing Walmart and Jetson Electric Bikes. No, that's not my hot story for today. That's not the one I want. Hold on. I got a better one. Hold on. Where's my hot story, y'all? Who moved my hot story? I'm not going to be happy if I don't have my hot story that I want. Here we go. Okay, I knew. Okay, we may have time for both. All right, that's what happened. I wanted to do these two stories about Walmart. That's what happened. Okay, I'm waking up. Okay, so you have this Pennsylvania couple who is suing Walmart after two of their daughters died in a house fire. So basically what happened was they plugged up a hoverboard. Now, everybody knows what a hoverboard is. That's, you know, that thing that lights up and you stand on, it has two big wheels and you just stand and you kind of navigate it and all that kind of stuff. Yes. Excuse me. They have a hoverboard. Their kids had a hoverboard. And it was charging. And it ignited in their 10-year-old daughter's room. And they said that they're suing Walmart and this Jetson people or company because they should have known that the hoverboards had electrical defects and risks, but didn't acknowledge those risks. Okay, they said that they were reckless, intentional, fraudulent, should be charged with outrageous conduct. Okay, so what happened was when the 15 and the 10-year-old girls were in the bedroom on the second floor, and the fire began, they couldn't get the girls out, and they said that they stood on the front lawn of their home and watched helplessly as their daughters were trapped inside awaiting rescue. They say both girls were, you know, subsequently rescued, but unfortunately, they both were pronounced dead shortly after. So this couple is suing for damages, including medical expenses, funeral expenses, and damage to their house and lost wages. All right, so they're suing Walmart and this company, Jetson Electric Bikes. My other Walmart story is what I need you to weigh in on. So, there's a Minnesota mother who's suing Walmart after a fire in a store parking lot burned her daughters alive. Now, one was killed, unfortunately, and the other one was permanently disfigured. So here's how this story goes. This is why I need y'all to weigh in, because I have my thought, and I need y'all to give me your thought, okay? So check this out. they said that she was going, she went to Walmart after going to the airport very early in the morning, and her daughters were 6 and 9. They were tired when she got to Walmart. So what she did was she left them inside of the car while she went inside and they were outside sleeping. Okay? So she figured, you know, they're sleeping, they wake up, they'll be safe, no problem. Well, this is at 6 a.m. to be exact. She said when she came back outside minutes later. Now, let me just, before we even go any further, if you've been in Walmart, I don't care where on this planet you go to a Walmart, you ain't been nowhere in no Walmart for no minutes. So she said when she came back out minutes later, now we talk about 60 minutes later, or we talk about 90 minutes later, because you sure ain't got nothing shorter than 30 minutes later. She said the car was in flames and she could not get to the girls. They said when she ran toward the fire, the first responders held her back. So we're also saying that when she went to approach the car, she, how long you been in there? How long you been in Walmart? Because if first responders could stop you, that means they got there before you. Okay, I'm just saying. So they said the younger of the two was in cardiac arrest, revived in the parking lot, and taken to a hospital. Her bigger sister, now she later died. Her bigger sister had severe burns, and she's permanently disfigured. Now, she's suing because she's saying Walmart encouraged and permitted a dangerous condition on its property. The lawsuit also says that it escalated, Walmart escalated that danger by failing to provide staff to oversee the appropriate use of its parking lot as a campground. So here's what she's talking about. They say that the fire got started with a camping stove. There was a California man who was traveling with his wife in their Dodge Caravan. And they were living out of it as they drove across the country. They decided to stop at Walmart in the parking lot and camp out. They used a camping stove to make breakfast. And what happened was it got on fire somehow. And because of the close proximity between the two vehicles, their car being on fire subsequently caused the fire of the car that the girls were sleeping in. So she's ultimately saying that if they had been monitoring, they should know people are camping out in the lot. And if they know people are camping out in the lot, they need to have security to make sure that they don't camp out, they don't do things that are hazardous, that this fire would not have taken place. And because the fire took place, caught on fire, to her car caught on fire, to that fire, her daughters would be alive. Where is my due time crew? Because I need you to weigh in on this. 347-285-7777. Come on, hit me up. Hit me up. Where's Brother Al? Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, and DM morning. Oh, yeah.
Brother Al, we only got a little bit of time because we do have a guest on this morning, so I need you to weigh in on this. Now, we have the two Walmart lawsuits. We have the lawsuit of the hoverboard where they plugged it in, and while it was charging, it caught on fire. And it caught on fire in an upper bedroom with two girls in it, 15 and 10. They were unable to get out, and they subsequently passed away, both girls in Pennsylvania. You have this second lawsuit that this woman left her, let me get it right, 6 and 9 year old daughters in the car sleeping because it was early in the morning. They were too tired to walk around Walmart, so she left them in the car sleeping while she went into shop. When she went into shop, there were people who were camping out on the parking lot, Walmart parking lot grounds. Their camping stove caught on fire. That fire ended up moving over to the car that the girls were sleeping in. And now mom is suing Walmart because they should have monitored the activity of the Walmart parking lot. So we know that the first lawsuit, Brother Al, is justified. However, is the second lawsuit justified?
Not at all. I mean, first of all, you should have made your kids get their behind up and come in the store. You know, I'm quite sure you've seen hundreds of stories and horror stories about kids being left in the car. So number one, I don't care how tired you are, you're gonna get up and go with me. And you know, so I don't think that even with the hoverboard thing, I believe because I know some couple of my kids have that, and I believe on that box it tells you about charging that in your house. Because people don't realize to understand that these are high powered motors,
right,
and batteries that you know, this is not no ordinary like a cell phone. These are high power. And I believe on the box it tells you don't charge inside your house. You know,
wow.
So these people just don't listen. I don't get it. But like I said, the other one, you should have made the kids get up and talk. You know it's camping out there, they sitting there sleeping, and you didn't heard the horror story, so why are you leaving the kids in the car?
All right, Brother Al, thank you. We so appreciate you today. Let's get our girl Tamika on. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, too. We have a quick minute to discuss these two stories. Now, I laid out the stories for anybody who came on later. And again, I do vaguely remember what Brother Al said about being warned not to, you know, charge certain devices, you know, in the home or as long as, you know. So it's like almost like, listen, it's charged, take it off because the stuff gets hot, blah, 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 blah. But even, you know, you could kind of understand, you know, if they went for that. Now, whether they're liable or not, that's something different. You could kind of understand that. But Tamika, what are we talking about when it comes to mom number two?
So mom number two definitely has to, there are so many different things that you could have done. I get it that, you know, you wanted to handle stuff, but, you know, you could you have called a neighbor and said, listen, can you watch the children? I got to run, you know, up the street to go handle something. You know, as many times as I've been held hostage at Walmart by Brother Al, because he just has to go through each and every aisle, I have never in my lifetime gone to Walmart and just been out, you know, in less than a half an hour. You know, whether you're just going to go get this one thing, you always find something else. And then by the time you get to the line, you know, there's usually a line, you got to wait. So, you know, as for her saying that, you know, she just went in for a minute, we have heard plenty of times, oh, I just went in for a minute. Obviously, you didn't check your clock. Either that or your watch broke, so it was still just, you know, like a couple of minutes from the time that you left. You know, my thing is that you have to bear the responsibility. You want to push that on to the facility, you know, but you have to take portion in the role that you played. You know, you could have left them at home, you know, with somebody responsible. You could have put them in a shopping cart. They didn't have to walk, you know, well, depending on their age. I have to think about that because depending on their age and their body size, you know. But there are plenty of other things that you could have done as opposed to leaving them in the vehicle. We have heard millions of horror stories, you know, with parents leaving their children in the vehicle, you know, whether they're asleep or not. You know, please bear your portion of the responsibility for what happened.
All righty. Oh, thank you. I got one more question coming back. So, Pastor Charlene, Shanti, stick to the question. Don't go no further, okay? Because I got another question I'm coming back to ask all of you really quickly. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. How are you today, my dear?
I'm well, thank you. How are you over there?
I am good this morning. Thank you.
Pastor Charlene, we have the hoverboard where we are so sorry to hear. You know, and we're sorry to hear by everybody. These are children. So we're so sorry to hear that, you know, something that, you know, brought joy, you know, unfortunately caused their demise. Mom number two. What are we talking about here? What comes to your head when you hear this story and the fact that she's now suing Walmart?
First thing that came to my head was, why would you leave them babies in the car? And anything could have happened, regardless of that piece. It could have been somebody could have came, took the car, and took them. So it's a lot on just that piece right there. All you have to do is take your eyes off your kids for a second. So you're wrong. You just didn't care what you should have did. Nothing is important that much to put your children in jeopardy to go to the store. So like Lady Tamika said, you could have asked somebody to watch them. You could have went later on if you didn't feel like taking them inside. You will have to take them inside for them to go in the house. So it's the same thing if you say you're only going to be in there for a minute. But I've been in Walmart. You're in there way more than a minute because as you're standing on the long line, you're going to see something else. Can you hold my spot? I'll be right back. And that's what we do. So you will not be in there. And I'm like you, Brother Al. I go in every aisle.
Listen, I'm with the both of you. Shawnee's hates going to Walmart. Ma, I got a list. I know what I'm going here for. Well, I'm sorry. Being that I don't go to Walmart every day, I need to go down every aisle like Brother Al and Pastor Shawnee.
That's right.
Lord.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Can
yes.
we get out
yes.
of this store?
I don't want to miss no deals.
That's right.
I'm with you.
I'm with you, Brother Al. I want to get every rollback there is.
Let's do a roll trip.
I want to get every rollback. All right.
Let's do
Thank
a roll trip.
That's right. I want to get our girl Shanti on the line. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor?
Good morning. I am well, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. Glad to hear. Listen, what's going on with the mom suing folk after she left the children in the car to go into shop for a few minutes at Walmart?
I really believe these mothers don't want these kids because I remember you could have been drooling. You could have told your mother your day at school was hard and you felt like you was working on the railroad. So what? Let's go. We got to go to the store. I don't care if you got to get one thing, which with Pastor Steph, it's never one thing. But I don't care what it is. Let's go. We got to go. All this leaving the kids and, oh, but they're tired. Like, when? Where? Who raised you? Like, I don't, is this way too many accommodations being made? That or just laziness on your part? They're not adults. You know, it's not like you were with your husband or your adult daughters And, you know, they're like, all right, listen, Ma, I'll be right here. You go ahead. And even then, you know, it's like, okay, listen, don't be going to sleep like that because you have to be aware of your surroundings. You know, you're the only one in this car, especially if this not our hood. Like, you got to be alert. You have to be aware. And just like I believe it was Pastor Charlene said, my first mind went to, okay, you would never thought that you would have come back out, even if your car was empty, even if you didn't leave your kids in the car. You never thought you would have come out the store to that. But just the fact of people, there's people out there walking around looking, it's like the enemy. They're looking for something to do, looking for something to get into. And now they look into this car and they just see two younger girls. Like, what do you really expect to happen? But we have a comment really quick, Pastor Steph.
Okay.
The listener sent in, they said, stop. It is the mother's fault leaving the girls in the car. How long was she really in Walmart? Because I know when I go in there, I'm in there for a while. So that's yet another person stating there's no in and out of Walmart.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us, Shantice. Thank you, listener. You're absolutely right. That's why when she said for minutes, I'm like, stop. Listen, you can't even go in the local grocery store for a minute. When have you ever been? I don't care if it is 6 o'clock in the morning. You ain't going in no warm-up for no couple of minutes. Now, here's what I want to say, and I want to ask all of you, and you didn't say it. So, just like Shanti said, who leaves, and Brother Al said, and Jamaica said, and Pastor Charlotte said, we all know you cannot leave a 6 and a 9-year-old in a car to sleep. So you really rely on the fact that they're going to stay asleep. Ain't nobody going to wake up. Nobody's going to touch a door. Nobody's going to get out to my, where's mom? Nobody's doing any of that. There's no risk of, like you all have said, maybe somebody approaching the car. There's no risk of the girls waking up and getting out of the car themselves. There's no risk whatsoever that, just like it has been said, even if the car did not catch on fire, I can't imagine. Now, I'll use Mariah because she's my little one right now. I can't imagine needing to go to Walmart, looking back and going, oh, she's asleep. I'll be right back. that just wouldn't even come to my mind. But, of course, I think we all know which side of the fence we're on here. Because let me tell you something. Let them find two children on our side of the fence sleeping in the back of a car. And you went to drop your mother at the airport this morning. And you wanted to go to Walmart. You mean to tell me you couldn't have taken the kids back home, go to sleep, and go back to Walmart later? Should she go to jail is the question. Come on, Brother Al. Should she go to jail? And for how long?
Oh, yeah, she needs to go see Big Martha. You know what I'm saying? Because you know better. You know what I'm saying? It's just like what you said. We all sat here talking. There's no such thing of going to Walmart for a minute. It doesn't, that word doesn't exist when it comes to Walmart. So, yes, you should go to jail for leaving those children in the, you endangered children, and you murdered them. That's your fault. You should never have left them in there, you know, and she should go to jail for a long time, you know what I'm saying? Put her in jail so I try to get out of Walmart. I'll be in there for a while.
I like that one, Brother Al. Listen. Should the couple who used the camp stove in the Walmart parking lot, now remember now, they're driving across country, let's say, and they're periodically, and they got hungry. They needed breakfast. They had a camp stove. Should they be charged with the murder of the little girl and the disfiguring of the little girl, Brother Al?
I don't think they should be charged with murder. I think they should be charged with reckless endangerment of a child because, again, you pulled up there and you saw that was a campground. So I'm quite sure they had other part over there that you could park. It's just like when we go to Walmart, we're driving, and you want to park in the front. You see if they handicapped. You know you're not handicapped, so you can't park. You know, I mean, now you pass it up, you probably can get in the handicap, but I can't. You know, so I keep going. I can't do the handicap parking, so I go somewhere else and park. So, so I'm saying, once they got there and saw that was a campground, once they got there and saw that it was a camping area, they should have went to a different part of the parking lot. So I think they should get charged with reckless endangerment of a child, but I don't think murder.
Okay, okay. Let me see what they did with him or with them, or if they did anything with the, let me see if they did anything. Okay. All right. So I'm going to look while you all talk and find out, because I did see last night, but I don't want to say it, and I'm not correct. You know, Brother Al, I'm so glad I'm not sensitive. And, yes, I am handicapped, disabled, partially. And that's all right, because y'all need to pull up to the door. Don't be trying to find no parking before y'all drop me off at the door. Just drop me off at the door. You know, listen, Brother Al, you know I'm going to be in there for longer than a couple of minutes. And know that you ain't going to be done before I'm going to be done inside of Walmart. All right.
That's right.
Tamika, should mom go to jail? Should the campers who had to have breakfast in the Walmart parking lot go to jail?
I don't necessarily agree with Brother Al in that, you know, because of your recklessness, you took two lives. You know, I understand that that wasn't your intention, but I have been to a million of Walmarts, and I have never seen, like, they have two parking spaces. They are, you know, I'm a living witness. You know, when I do get the chance to go to Walmart with Brother Al, he parks all the way in the back. And we got to walk all the way. I don't know why he does that. I think he does it just to torture me, because I already don't like going there. But he, you know, there are places that you could park that are available, that you don't have to be next to anybody else's vehicle. Here's the other thing, you know, that nobody's thinking about. They had to have hot breakfast. They got cereal every day. You can get you could buy you a bowl. You could buy a spoon. While you're going up and down the aisles, you could buy a bowl, a spoon, you know, then you can get your cereal. There's plenty of options. You know, you get your sugar if you got Rice Krispies. There's all kinds of options. And so, therefore, I think mom should go to jail, and I do believe that these two should as well.
All right. And you, but you're saying you also don't believe they should go to jail for reckless endangerment. You feel they should go to jail for murder?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, okay. Listen, I get it. I get what you're saying. And yet, it's funny, I didn't want to say it before any of you said it, but as a driver, I ain't never been to Walmart and seen no sign that says campground. Parking, disabled. No. Me either, Lady Tamika. All righty. Where's my Pastor Charlotte? Pastor Charlotte, should mom go to jail? And should the campers who had to have, I love the fact that Tamika brought up, they can have post-civil, because I was asking, well, what happened to the breakfast bar? The little breakfast bar that you pop open, that you eat? Yo, you pulling out a whole stove in the middle of a Walmart parking lot next to another car? Come on, Pastor Charlotte, what you got over there?
I guess I think they all should get locked up. Now, if they would have had burgers, I might have would have thought about it. But since they was doing breakfast, I think that they should. Endangering, I would say that, because it caught on fire. Well, they was wrong. Everybody's wrong. So, yeah, just lock up everybody. It's like if they had a burger, though, I was saying about it, though. They did.
Ooh, all right. I don't even want to know what you would say here, but since you're a part of the panel today, we ain't got no other choice but to ask you. So, does everybody go to jail?
Absolutely. Because I can't imagine whipping out a stove in any parking lot. So, again, we don't have to wonder what side of the fence this is on. Listen, I went camping for the one and only time in my life, and they had to bust out a stove. That wasn't like pulling gum out of your pocketbook. That took a little work because it's a stove. So you done built a whole kitchen in this parking lot because you wanted, what, bacon and eggs, porridge? Like, what is it that you was craving, like Lady Tamika just said? That's what my thought is. When we go away, I don't care how much money we have, we hit up the Walmart and we get the cereal and the bowls and the spoons and the milk and, you know, and we plan on going out to eat if we want a hot breakfast, but that's just for the mornings. We don't feel like leaving the hotel room or the Airbnb wherever we're staying. You know, that's just a quick breakfast. I cannot imagine being on the road and we just pull up somewhere and we just decide this is where we're going to build this kitchen. They should definitely go to jail. Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's sad to say because, again, like, you know, you're not thinking, okay, let's barbecue our food and these people. But no one thought this don't sound right. Nobody thought, because even if nothing like that happened, something else could have happened. Because my thing is this, you just built this kitchen in this parking lot. You're not going to want to have somebody come up to you and say, you got to put that away. Do you know what it took for me to get this stove out this vehicle? You're going to wait until I finish cooking and until the stove cools down, and then I'll put it away. You know, even stuff like that. Like, why would you set yourself up for an attitude? You know you have no business doing that. So, yeah, unfortunately, yes, they should go, and the mother should go, too, because no one had their thinking caps on that morning.
I thought about everything you all have said, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, well, even if there was no this other incident didn't happen subsequent to your, your cooking, just the cooking itself has to be hazardous. They did not have a parking lot there for you to bust out a stove. Who does that and think it's okay? And see, let me tell you something. People like that, had they approached them, oh, it would have been on. They were, oh, I have my rights, and oh yeah, you know, it would have been on. It would have been straight on. Listen, whether somebody subsequently died or not, just like Shanti said, you couldn't put the stove back in your car hot. So now Walmart has to wait for you to pack your stuff up, so they would have no say in the activity of their, you know, of their parking lot. You know, so I want to tell you that they say that the guy who was responsible. Check this out really quickly as we close. He says, the man went into the store and the camping stove ignited a fire inside his vehicle. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? He went in the store and the fire was going on. The stove was working with his wife on the inside of the car. She tried to put the flames out but was unsuccessful. Their vehicle was engulfed and blaze spread to the other van. The man pled guilty to 2 counts of negligent fire causing great bodily harm. Are y'all ready? And was sentenced to 120 days in jail and 3 years probation. Need I say this was not on outside of the fence? Come on, quick. We're closing up, Brother Al. What you got to say about that?
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I thought you said, that it started inside the car. That means you was cooking and you put a hot stove inside the car. Now, you definitely should have got more time than that. You know, and that tells a lot, too, about the side of the fence. Because we'd have told our kids, hey, we're going to Walmart. Oh, I'm tired. And we'd have gave them that look. They would have got up and came. So we had cooked in that yard and then put the hot stove or whatever inside your car. You know what I'm saying? No, he definitely more time than that. Mm-mm. I thought you were going to say 120 years. 120 days? Mm-mm. No, sir.
All right. Come on, Tamika. We closing up. What you got to say about this piece here?
One of the first things that you tell a child as they're growing up, you safeguard the children. You tell them, hot, don't touch, you know, don't do this. Just common sense. You have a hot apparatus inside your vehicle. I'm thinking it's on the outside, you know, away where, you know, air can get. You have it inside your vehicle. It didn't occur to you that maybe something could happen. Hot grease could have poured on the inside of the vehicle. We inside the vehicle. You didn't take it out, you know, and then just the vehicle is filled with gas. What do you think could possibly happen? You know, I my heart just goes out to, you know, the loss because of your negligence. And and then the time frame, you got less than a year for what, for taking two lives. Help me. I'm just not getting the type of stuff. I'm not getting it at all.
Child, you ain't alone because I don't get it either. Come on, Pastor Charlotte, we closing up. What we got going on here?
One, it was not enough time. Two, he was trying to get rid of the wife. He didn't really mean to get the kids because they should have known better. So he was trying to get rid of her because he should have known better. And he should have known better. How you going to try to get the fire out? Really? Come on. He was trying to get that insurance money, and he shouldn't have parked by any other car. He should have put over there on the last row. Well, Brother Al parked by the woods and just let by them trees that be over there, and he would have been able to just to get her, not the kids. So he did not get enough time. And he mad because he got to go. Watch.
Wow. Shantice, we're closing up. What you got? Shantice. What you got?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was thinking the exact same thing Pastor Charlene said. Like, this is a conspiracy by the man. Because how did you really believe that you are going to put this stove in there and turn it on and nothing was going to happen? That was a complete setup. You probably suggested, oh, let's have a hot breakfast, and made an excuse as to why you needed to go into the store, and kaboom, there it went. And unfortunately, like Pastor Sheldon said, unfortunately, you didn't think to put her somewhere secluded to where only her and your property got destroyed. That is filthy. That is, whoever that judge is, he's in on it too. I'm with Pastor Sheldon. Because how could you hear this? Whether you felt this was his intention or not, and just give him a slap on the wrist, because that's all he got. That's filthy.
Mm. Oh, my due time, too. Thank you so much for your contribution to this conversation. It has been real. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
You all do the same. You as well. Everybody enjoy.
Thank you. I love my due time, too. No matter how long or short we're supposed to be on, they always got something for us. Oh, before we get started with our main conversation, let me say good morning to our lady, Nicole Burns. If you were on with us yesterday, she participated with the Women of Worship in our conversation. Welcome back, Lady Nicole.
Thank you so much. Good morning to everybody. It was great to listen to all the awesome conversations, and I'm just glad to be on sharing with you guys this morning. Thank you.
All right. Happy to have you. So before we get started with our conversation, I need you to weigh in on this whole Walmart fiasco. What's your thought?
It just, you know, really saddens me about the little girls, you know, life lost. It's really, really sad, but it angers me, too, to know that the person that's responsible did not get the time that is fitting of the crime. Yet again, you know, our legislation, our injustice, or I mean, justice system is just, it's terrible. You know, it needs some change, absolutely. And it's just terrible. You know, I'm all over the place with my emotions about this whole situation. The girl getting left in a car by themselves. You know, what happened to them, and then the person that did it, and the crime. It's terrible. It's awful. It's a very, very bad situation.
Well, thank you for weighing in, and we all feel the same as you do. As you see, we're quite an animated group of people, and I love talking to you all about these type things. Trying to get everybody's thought process. So before we go any further and we get our conversation going on, Lady Nicole, why don't you tell everybody who Nicole Burns is?
Okay, well, I am a child of the Most High God. I'm a wife. I am a mother. I am an entrepreneur. I am an author. And I call myself just a social girl. Love people, love communicating with people, cooperating with people. So creative, you know, trying to get into health a little bit. So there's many, many facets of me, and I just love sharing with people. That's a little bit about myself.
Well, okay. Well, for those of us who are avid listeners of It's Due Time, a couple of months ago we did have Lady Nicole on with her husband, Pastor J.O. Burns, and we really enjoyed them when we talked about external threats in a relationship. So you all have to listen to their Marriage Mondays. Oh, my goodness. I was just telling Lady Nicole, they are hilarious. They are straight hilarious, and you would really enjoy it. So before she goes, I'm going to, you know, make sure she gives that information so you can join her. But today, she's on with us as an author. So the book, Hi God, What Are You Saying to Me, is the book that she has written. And why don't you tell us what this book is basically about? I had the pleasure of reading it. I did read it. And, ooh, I got some stuff I want to ask you. So just give us an overall reason, I mean, an overall view of the book and what prompted you to write the book.
Yes. The prompt came from simply a need. I wanted to have a devotional for my children to get into daily that is going to help them practice hearing the voice of God. And so I just decided, and then on top of that, or at least, you know, the beginning of that, it was the Lord. He's just like, you write the book, you know. And it's kind of been this theme with what the Lord has just been speaking to me, be the change that you want to see, you know. That's because sometimes I ask the Lord, well, why this God and why that? He's like, well, you do it. You know, you're desiring that, you become that. So I wrote the book for that. It is a children's devotional.
Wow. Yeah, I took the time to read it. I purchased it when we first spoke a couple of months ago, and I had not had, an opportunity to read it. And I really like the layout. So the layout has five parts to it. It has the theme of the day. It has the scripture that goes along with the theme. It has an affirmation. It has a journal prompt. And ultimately, the activity. So this is 1 through 30, day 1 through 30. And each day you have all parts of those things. Tell us why you broke it down like that, opposed to just writing, let's say, any one or two of them, but you felt that each day had to be flushed out to have all of these different parts.
it's the teacher in me. That's one of the things I didn't share. I am a teacher. My spiritual gift is a teacher, and then also I was a teacher, sexually. So I know for children and adults, actually, when you are learning, layered learning works the best. So I didn't want to just do a regular day where you read the scripture and read something about it. I want you to be able to not just read the scripture, but know the scripture and apply the scripture, repeat it all day. Of course, throughout history, we know repetition is the best form of memory, right? But however, with the word of God, because it's living and powerful, as you repeat that thing, it's just becoming alive more and more. And as you begin to get that thing in you, it will definitely come out of you. Holy Spirit always brings things to your remembrance. So for kids, you cannot just sit and try to do a lecture like you could, when we go to college, you sit before the professor and they lecture all day. But when kids are early learning, they need hands-on. They need to be able to, the more senses that you use when it comes to learning a thing, the more likely you're going to retain that. So I want them to hear it as they're doing it. I want them to read it with their eyes. I want them to say it with their mouth. I want them to use their hands and their bodies and everything to be able to learn that theme, get that scripture, and make that theme come to life.
Oh, wow. Okay. That makes a lot of sense, especially when you said, and adults. Yes, girl. Working with adults, you need to break this thing down down to the molecule. So I think that was an excellent layout for each day. Now, I went through each day, and there were certain things that came to my mind instantaneously. So if you wouldn't mind, I would like to throw out, something, a day, a theme, and you can tell us what made you, why that was important for the children, in your opinion, or what you felt when you were writing it. How's that?
Yes, sure.
Okay. So, I'm looking. Let me pull one out. Listen. Oh, my goodness. Listen is a theme. That's a day. Why did you choose listen?
Yeah. Which day are we looking at?
Day 21. Listen.
Day 21. Yeah. Absolutely. So I am just going to quickly, if you don't mind, I'm going to read that one. You want me to read the theme or the scripture?
No. It's up to you.
Well,
it's up to you.
Okay, I'm just going to read the first sentence. It said, listen, I have placed people in your life to help you get where I want you to be. So listen, number one, that is one of our senses. We listen with what? Our ear, our sense of hearing. So like I said, it's layered. So, and you know how we have that popular saying, Linda, Linda, listen. Or when people are talking, they say, listen. So it's a call to action. It's saying, as I'm speaking to you, I want you to give me this action in response to what I am saying. So it's saying, stop what you're doing, focus. And you know how a lot of times we try to multitask. Sometimes, like, you could be on the phone, but your kids are messing with you, or your spouse is calling you or something. So you are trying to talk and have a conversation on the phone, but you have all of these other things going on around. So in somewhere, something's going to get lost. Your attention's cannot be in multiple places. So that whole idea of multitasking, we need to revisit that. But listen simply means stop what you're doing, focus your mind, and pay attention. And one of the things that I also teach is when I was teaching children is use your whole body to listen. So, you know, a lot of times you have to model things. And so I would show the kids, I'm like, look, is this listening? So I would sit on the floor and I'd be moving my feet, playing with my fingers, digging in my nose. I'm like, am I listening with my whole body? And they're like, no. I'm like, how do you know that? And they're like, well, you're playing with your hands. You're picking your nose. You know, so listening with your whole body means my eyes are on you. My mind is processing what you're saying. And I'm giving you my attention because I'm trying to really digest it. So that's why I use listening.
Oh, I think that's key, because if we don't teach them to listen now, you know, as a pastor, how many of your people ain't listening?
Huh.
Listen.
You said that.
How many times do you say this? Okay? So when I saw this one come up in the children's book, I was like, go, Nicole. Oh, my goodness. All right. Here's one that I want to look at. Day 9. Stay where it is safe. Mm-hmm. If it's raining outside, you should dress for the rain, and you may wear rain boots or use an umbrella if you are at a bus stop. Stay where it is safe, Lady Nicole. What are we talking about here for our children?
Mm-hmm. Protection. Today, you know, it's raining outside today. And so you're definitely going to see things on a day where there's inclement weather, certain things on this day that you would not see on other days, you know. So, and that's the thing. We have to make sure always that we are prepped for our environment. This book is prepping our children for life. Can you imagine that? I thought about this when I wrote it too. If I were to my younger self, had I had a book like this and something like this to help give me these tools, I probably wouldn't have made so many mistakes or had the heartaches and maybe some of the tragedies and traumas that I went through. I may have been able to handle them differently and come out from them differently. So this is prepping for life, but you're also prepping for the situations that come. So, you know, me moving here to New York, I'm not originally from here, so I had to learn about a winter, a real winter season. I'm just like, listen, I don't get snow. I don't have to drive in the snow. I don't have to, you know, get out and shovel nothing. I mean, shovel, are you kidding? This was, like, foreign to me.
Right.
So I had to learn how to prep and adapt to that environment. The same thing for our children. You got to prep and be ready and adapt to the environment, because our life and seasons always are changing.
All right, all right. Let's go over to day 6, Nicole, Lady Nicole. I like this one. Keep my word in your heart. Why are we teaching our children to keep God's word in their heart?
Our children experience so much. You know, I know as adults, we tell them, listen, enjoy your childhood. You're fine. You have no worries. Well, everybody has worries in different areas and seasons. So, of course, us as adults, we have way more responsibilities. But children experience, and they go through stuff too. You know, they have peer pressure. There's bullying, and there's things that go on a lot of times at school with our children that we don't even know about, you know, and sometimes they don't tell us about. So when we teach them the tool about keeping the word of God in their heart, it helps them have something to hold on to, a point of reference to know that, listen, when this person is coming at me, I have God. I have God who loves me, who is protecting me, who is concerned for me, that's going to give me this ability to be able to help me in this time of conflict or this, whatever the time is. You know, they're going to help me stand up. Think about those little girls yesterday from the story that God can give courage in the midst of a situation. God can allow our children to help somebody if they see them in trouble. He can allow for them to say a word that could change a situation. What about the little girl I think about in the Uvalde situation when that man was shooting everybody, how she covered herself with blood and laid down as if she were dead to get out alive?
Mm-hmm.
Courage. Mm-hmm. The Lord can, having God in our heart, can give the Holy Spirit will speak. He's a protector. It's one of the things he does. So definitely giving that unction, and when you got him on the inside of you, he'll give you what you need to handle your situations on the outside. I feel like I'm preaching this morning.
listen, if that's how it's coming out of you, we'll take it. Because again, when I was going to the book and I was looking at the themes each day, I knew it was written for children, but all I kept thinking about was the adults. So I'm going to come back to that. And so the preacher in me understands the preacher in you, in other words.
Okay.
What else are we talking about today? Because I just want to chat with you in a little while over some of this stuff here. So let me see some of the other things that I saw that stuck out to me. Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. I got a boss.
Ooh. It's nice.
And
be
before
nice.
You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to just, we'll talk about day 7 as well. I'm going to come back to the nice to be nice. But one of the things I also wanted to mention, too, is about the affirmations to, you know, they should be saying them daily. So in the morning, on the way to school, they should, you know, share them. In the afternoon when they come home from school, before they go to bed, because you're affirming. In other words, you are just kind of agreeing with. And so on day 7, it says, I am who God created me to be. I am not who the world says that I am. So while they may be getting negative information, maybe from externally, maybe on the outside, we got to remember who God says we are. Know that on the inside. So when we know it, we understand it, and we've received what God has said about us, then what man says about us does not matter much. You understand? So, you know, those affirmations are good. And you said, go ahead.
No. I'm agreeing with you. I think it's, because I was going to come back to that for you to explain why you specifically have the affirmations in each day. And you just explained it, because if that's our theme for the day and we're walking around and we're saying it, then, you know, after a while we begin to believe this thing. So, yes, mm-hmm. You know, despite the fact that we have the theme, if we just read it, it makes me think of the scripture that says, you know, as long as we're looking in the mirror, we remember exactly what we look like. But once we turn away, we forget everything. So that affirmation is essential. Because I've read this for the day, and now I'm repeating this throughout the day. And the more, like you said, you say it, the more you begin to believe it and understand it. So now it becomes real. So you definitely went where I was going to go, because I really wanted you to point out that and how important affirmation is. But day 7. Wait, is it day 7? No, day 26. It's nice to be nice in a day where we, you know, when we were growing up, bullying existed. But today, as with everything else, bullying has taken on an entirely different meaning. It is a lot more drastic. It's in many different ways and areas that we didn't have accessible to us. How essential is it for you to realize as a child it's nice to be nice?
Yes, absolutely. I think nice goes a long, long, long way. You understand? So when you are being nice, you actually are opening yourself up for people to want to be around you, congregate with you. You know, one of the things that some of the struggles that some kids have, and more so even adults, is making friends. But and one of the things that I've noticed here, this is unfortunate, you know, not knocking y'all New Yorkers, but the looks, the facial expressions sometimes that you see, like, yep. make people scared. You know, you're frowning, yep. mean mugging, smile.
Yeah. Right.
When you smile, there's something that happens not only externally, but internally in your with your brain, your body language. When there's a smile on your face, you are attracting others to you. You are feeling much better. And the Bible talks so much about laughter. It's healing. You know, you're going through depression, go to a comedy store. Get something that's going to make you laugh, because there's some chemicals in the brain that are released that allows your body to feel good. So when you're being nice to people, you could almost save a life. You know, I've heard stories of, you know, somebody was on the verge of committing suicide and somebody simply said hi.
Right.
And they were being nice. That changed the whole course of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped somebody from taking their life. So when you are being nice, you can literally change atmospheres on being nice, and especially with children, because a big component for them when they're in school and their learning environment is the social part of it. It's the connecting with other people,
right.
and learning how to grow with other people and teach
right.
and treat other people, you know? The golden rule. That's funny because that one's in there too. I definitely talked about that. You got to treat others like you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's important.
Yes,
that's very, very important.
It is. And that's the activity that you have. I turned it over to see the activity. You're just way ahead of me, Lady Nicole. I just turned over to you while you were talking, and I see this big golden rule that you have here. And here's what I liked about it. You suggested that they color it in with gold, you know, so just mm-hmm. it sticks out, you know. We're embroiderers, mm-hmm. and what our colors are black, white, and gold, because that gold mm-hmm. always elevates whatever the design is. Whenever we create a design, mm-hmm. we always use black, white, and gold. And that black and white is standard, but that gold kicks it. So you're right. In life, we need to have that golden rule to treat people like we want to be treated. And we talked about that yesterday, even in the friendship. You know, be the friend that you want to have. You know, you want the way people treat you. You got to be that first. So, you know, this was really a good activity as well. I want to talk about the feedback you've gotten from other people who have read the book, and how they have expressed maybe their grandchildren or their children or maybe their school, they've received it, and if they've seen any changes in the children. Have you gotten any feedback like that?
Yes, I've gotten some. Most of the feedback that I get is, I like the activities. So it's the doing part. And that is so important. And even I asked my daughter, she's 8. I'm like, what's your favorite part? She's like, the activities. You know, I like the coloring. I like the games. You know, I like all of that. So that was one of the parts that I think, were pretty important, because I know about kids, you know, when they it's nice to read, you know, you do your math, but if I could get up and use my body, if we could, you know, put, if I got 10 people and I get 10 people in a group, and guess what, I take 4 of them away and I move those 4 people, how many do we have left? Now you have the whole classroom participating. But if
right.
I'm on the board and I'm writing it down and they're watching me, some of them are not going to get it and they're not going to pay attention. But when you get that activity, when you put that part in, that's the part that works. So that's where I'm getting most feedback. They're like, I love the activity. That's what most have said. So, and that makes me happy, because I thought that was really important for the kids to do that. And even for me, when I sit and this is probably not the greatest thing, even especially like, and I love church, don't get me wrong, I love the word of God, but when I'm sitting and listening, I need my hands to be moving in order for me to receive and catch it. Like, I'll crochet, I'm knitting, something like that. My hands need to move because that's how I learn. That's how it's a connection for me. But, I mean, I didn't get this until, you know, now that I'm older. But now that people are understanding that more, and even when you get to when you talk about kids that are, like, on the spectrum, it's that texture. So they need screws and things to move around because that helps. It's that connection,
right.
You know. So, yeah, that's it.
So it makes every bit of sense. It makes every bit of sense. You see children that are doers, that are movers, they kind of glide through life a little differently than others who are sedentary. And so I'm not surprised, actually, that the favorite part of the book is the activity. Because, like you said, it's one thing to read it, another thing to act it out. So that's why I said I looked at each day and how you kind of carved out each day, and to finish that day with the activity was really golden, you know, because that really makes the difference. Again, you know, we read, we got the theme, we got the scripture and the affirmation and the this and the that, and we do this and that. But when I finally get to the point where I can act this thing out, not only that, you're just giving templates so they can actually act this out in any shape, form, or fashion that they can, or you're doing is giving them like a guide. So that was really, really a good part. So I'm glad to hear that, you know, the favorite part was the activity, because that's what people are. You know, you get them to do, it changes everything. Here's what I want to talk about for a couple of minutes. We have a couple of minutes left, but I wanted, and I'm sure you had this in your head at some point. As a pastor who has, you know, my congregation, the congregation that God gave me, I always like to put it like that, the congregation that God gave me is young. They're young people. They're young people. And every time I read the next theme, first thing I thought about was adulthood, because I instantaneously, Lady Nicole, saw the deficiency. So when we look at something like, keep my word in your heart, you know, you see why they can't get through life, because they read it, they move on, it's like they never read it, and it's like, yo, you didn't reflect back on what you just learned on Sabbath. They move, they're so busy moving that they don't take the time to, you know, keep this stuff in their heart that would help them when they get into trouble, Lady Nicole. So each day I read a theme. Instantaneously, I thought about our adults, our young adults, and how essential it is that if they had this stuff as children, they would not be as dysfunctional as they are now. So, you know, I want you to just kind of close out talking about how you writing this book for children will help them to transition into, you know, to productive adults, to godly adults, to, you know, adults that can really acclimate themselves into a life that God wants them and has designed them to have. And that kind of segues, you know, into who you are as an adult. This book here, everything addresses your adulthood, but you're catching them in their childhood stage. What you got for us?
Absolutely. I just thought about the, you know, I kept hearing the Bible comes to life. The Bible comes to life. So it, I just recently, earlier, or actually at last end of last month, I went to Sight and Sound Theater in Pennsylvania to see the story of David. And, you know, I took my children. I have a 17-year-old and an 8-year-old. And I told my son, you know them teenagers, they don't want to do nothing with you. They don't want to go nowhere with you. They don't want to do nothing around you. I asked my son, I said, you think you're going to like this? He was like, nope. I'm like, so we get there, and we have front row seats. Like, I think it was a little up to close, but it was still nice. And so we sitting on the front row, and during the show, and mind you, I don't know, the show was like 2 hours or something. It's long. We were sitting a long time. I look over, and my son's eyes are glued. And he's excited. My eight-year-old, she is sitting all this time and listening and paying attention. And so afterwards, I told my son, I thought you said you wasn't going to like it. He was like, I didn't know what to expect. He was like, but I loved it. And so we have to do what we need to do to make the Bible come to life. And, you know, always the message will be the same, but the method needs to change. And me, honestly, I'm thinking, what if in church we changed up some stuff rather than
just sitting, preaching
the word, but making it come to life and whatever creative ways we could do, because this thing needs to stick. I don't need to just give it to you and preach it at you and say it to you. I need for you to work it out on your own and get it. And so it was that layered. It was, we read about David and Goliath, and I asked them questions before. What y'all know about David? Tell me. The Goliath and this, you know, that's the most famous thing. And then so afterwards, I'm like, what did y'all learn new? And, you know, they're talking about, oh, I didn't know that he went back and he killed all of Goliath's brothers too. You know, so we need to bring it. Let's do some more. Let's just do a little bit more. And I think it does make a difference on getting the word of God in you. And I mean, definitely, you know, we got to take them to church. We got to expose them, but let's just do a little bit more, because we're going to find that when we do that for children, when they're in those teen years and they're really faced up against those for real peer pressures, the drugs and alcohol and parties and all of that kind of stuff, that they can reach back because they've had it in them and realize that, well, you know what? The Holy Spirit is going to be tugging and they're going to hear the voice and know the word that, you know, has been placed in them. So I think it's, we got to just make it extra. And guess what? It's different for every child. We know that. Some kids will get it one way. But that other kid is going to have to come something whole new. So you got to know your kid. You got to put that in them so that when they become adults, they have something to reach back to. And then maybe they need some refreshers as adults. You know, let's go to this play. Let's talk about this. And what you think about this? And, you know, let's do this. Let's have some experiences. Let's catch a movie about this. You know, they're... Sight and Sound is putting out a movie called I Heard the Bells. I think it's coming. They said it's going to be in some theaters in December. I want to go see that. I'm going to go see all of the plays they're doing. I'm going to try to, you know, make that check and check it out, because I want the experience and something that you'll never forget. And no, guess what? Like David slew that giant, I can too, because that's the theme of the Bible.
Absolutely.
You see him slaying a giant, but it's for you to know that when you come against big stuff in your life, God allows you to slay that thing too.
Amen. Amen, Lady Nicole. Please give us a way we can buy this book.
Absolutely. It is on Amazon. You can just go on Amazon and type in Hi God, What Are You Saying to Me, and it'll pop right up. And you can also get it on my website at www.nicoleburns.org. Both ways.
All right. Now, listen, I want to go back to this Marriage Mondays. Please tell everyone how they can find you and Pastor Burns for your Marriage Mondays.
Yes, we are on Facebook. My name, Nicole Burns, on Facebook, Marriage Mondays. We also have a YouTube channel, Burns Memorial Church, on YouTube, so you'll see Marriage Mondays on there as well. We have a website for the church as well, burnsmemorialchurch.com, so you can connect with us on any of those ways. Also, we're on Instagram at BMC.NYC at Instagram.
All right, all right. Well, you have been a true blessing to us today, and we thank God for your writing of this book, his inspiration to write this daily devotional for children. And we're expecting to hear big things come out of this writing, and we just ask God to bless all of your endeavors.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was my pleasure being on with you today.
Okay, have a blessed one, Nicole. Lady Nicole.
You do the same. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Ooh, what a treat. Before we elaborate, let me give the benediction of today. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:7. I read that one recently, and normally I think I have about 28 that I kind of, when I don't pray, I kind of navigate through, and I try to always find something that is kind of befitting to our conversation. And I know that I read that one, you know, recently, but for some reason that was on my heart again to read. Hi God, what are you saying to me? Now, I have to tell you, this here touches me in a different way. Like I said, every day I read the theme, instantaneously, I thought about the adults. I thought about the adults. The adults would come to my mind. And one of the things that I always say is, because it's true, all of our childhood spills into our adulthood. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be negative, but it does happen. Because either we err on the side of, you know, I'm not, what I went through, my kids will never go through that. And a lot of times we hear that with church attendance. You know, somebody made me go to church, so my kids ain't going to have to go to church again. I'm going to give them an option. Okay. How smart is that in this world that we're living in? Or, you know, you perpetuate whatever happened in your childhood. And that's why I can really appreciate a book that's so well written like this. Because like I said, you know, we were talking, you have five parts to each day. You have the theme, you have the scripture, you have the affirmation, you have the journal prompt, and you have the activity. And how blessed are we to be able to get a theme, and then we get a scripture that matches the theme. They got to go look it. Because if you have, you know, certain reference type Bible, then automatically once you pull up that scripture, you'll get it. You know, you'll get a reference. And for the children, they have it right before them. So it also says that this is what God wants. This is what God is saying regarding. This is what God is saying to you about be nice. Being nice about, you know, making sure that, you know what to do, making sure you pray. This is what God specifically has to say about this. We then get that affirmation where we talked about, Lady Nicole and myself, where you're just chanting this thing and you're saying it and you're speaking it. And as you're speaking it, you're encouraging yourself and, you know, you're giving support to what the theme is. And you know, it just might be something that your parents said to you that was negative, because I'm still watching how everybody's worried about the coaches and the teachers and the this and the that. These children can't even get out of their homes without being destroyed. Look at what we just have finished talking about today. And that's our daily conversation here on the Due Time when we go through this news. These children can't even get out of their parents' way. The parents are destroying the children. So these children need to be able to affirm this theme for the day. You have the journal entry, you know, the prompt where I'm going to write about this thing. What does it mean to me? What do I think about when I've, you know, heard the theme and I've heard the scripture, and that's what God has to say about this thing. And now I've affirmed it all. They have to change me. Oh, I say that Nicole needs to update this for the adults, because does it change me is what matters.
Am I still getting this theme? Am I still getting the scripture for this theme? Am I still affirming this theme, but yet it doesn't take root somehow? What is coming between my spirit and the spirit of God? Because we know that the spirit of God can rest on you even though the spirit of God has not been given to you on the inside. There's still, if God is speaking to you, then God has chosen to speak to you, which means that you are special and he's watching you and he wants you to make that change. What's coming in between? What's stopping this process from happening here? So when you do this journal entry, this journal prompt that she has it here, then that should help you. That's now a focus on how has this changed my life? Has it changed my life? And then finally, the activity. What am I doing? Oh, what am I doing about this thing? You know, so today I read, I need to be nice. When I look up, I realize that I hadn't been nice 3 days ago. So, had I read this 3 days ago, I may have been nice. However, God knew that you would be reading it 3 days later. So, see, now going forward, you ain't got no excuse. Oh, no, because God didn't already told you to be nice. You understand that God has something to say about you being nice because Lady Nicole has already given the scripture. This affirmation of, I need to be nice. I should be nice. I need to be nice. I wasn't nice 2 days ago, but I can be nice today. I can find something nice to say opposed to something negative to say. So I can speak this thing into existence. So now what am I going to do about it? So when somebody walks up on me and says something twisted, am I going to be nice? There's the challenge. That's the activity that goes beyond that day. And this is what I was thinking about. When every day I looked and I saw her theme for the day, and I was, immediately I thought about the adult. And I'm like, had we had this as a child? She mentioned, had she had this as a child? Well, I'm contending that if we all had this as a child, this could have made a significant difference. You know, there are people that I hear who I never hear them say anything good about themselves. They're always telling me about, or they're always mentioning about how great somebody else is, but I hardly ever hear how great they are with all the qualities they have. I hardly ever hear that. And this is here. That's the affirmation. Who am I? How can, you know, how can I speak this into existence? Into my life? How can I speak this into existence in my life? And how can I keep it going and I keep encouraging myself? This is why I said, you know, you, if you have this issue and you're 52 and you still can't figure out the good stuff that you can do and you keep telling me about somebody else, then you need this. It started when you were a child. You just didn't wake up. Because even if you had something to you that dampened how you felt about yourself, that means you were not always confident in that area. So get the book. Get the book. I say if you're an adult, get the book and let it make the proper change in your life that it needs to. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew and our Lady Nicole Burns for getting us through this thought-provoking, blessed morning. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now.
please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen your relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to us. Oh, I didn't forget our listeners who help us do what we do and help us get through the morning. And I pray that you are blessed today. Get the book. It will change your life. It changed mine as an adult. It can change your life. Until tomorrow, God spares, we have Freestyle Friday. And we get to do whatever we want to do. God spares our life. I love you.